Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
He hasn't called yet.
Good afternoon, high school tennis fans. This is your host, Coach Denise, bringing you the FHS-TCA perspective on high school tennis. Welcome to the UR 10 Network, where you'll find all your tennis news. Hopefully you've enjoyed the holidays and you're ready for a happy and prosperous New Year's. I know we just got through with our training at Daytona Beach last month.
We were blessed to be able
to present four Coach of the Year awards, courtesy of Wilson Sports. And Dean Street Insurance came through and presented a community service award. As I've said many times, most high school successful tennis programs are more than a coach and an athletic director. It's the community. Sorry about that, folks. I'm not sure what happened, why you received the previous recording of my announcing of the show, but whatever happened, I assume it's over with now, so I will go on. I usually say it's a beautiful sunny day in Florida, but the truth of the matter is it hasn't been a beautiful in Florida. It's been cold and about 70 degrees, and it's been raining most of the week, and I have guests, and we've been trying to figure out how I can do the shows during January and February from the Caribbean if the weather stays this way, but they said they would come down with me if I find a way, but I don't think that'll happen. I'll be here in Florida. It has been busy, though, and I haven't, truthfully, I've been so busy, I haven't had a chance yet to listen to yesterday's show with Chuck Reese and his American tennis show, and truthfully, I didn't listen to our UR10 host, Jason Haynes, bringing you U.S. College experience to you, and if I'm going to be confessional, I might as well tell the whole truth. I haven't listened to Lisa Stone's show today either, but like this show, if you're not listening to it live, you can listen to it at your own time, so I'm sure sometime this evening I'll be able to start catching up with some of the shows that I have missed. We do have an exciting time for you. I think we have a good show today. It should be an interesting show because we have a college coach as a guest today. And as I've talked to you many times before, I think we have to remember that the future, not only of tennis, but the future of our college players, our USTA league players, our volunteers, actually our PTR and USPTA tennis pros, they are all in high school now. So high school tennis overlaps the college tennis, so we always try to have a college coach on at least once a month, and today being the first Thursday of the month, we have Coach Brian Slack with us, who I will introduce in a few minutes, and I'm sure he'll be glad to answer your questions. If you want to call on 714-583-6853, well, we can do that. As the announcement that was pre-recorded somehow started to say, we finished last year, I think, on an upswing. We gave out our four Wilson Coach of the Year awards to the FHSAA 1A, 2A, 3A, and 4A. The FACA workshop, I think, was outstanding. I'm very appreciative of the speakers that we had that came from as far away as California to do presentations. And I'm also appreciative to Team Connection. They wowed the whole group when the uniforms for the 2016 team were presented at the workshop, and everybody was impressed at how great the uniforms are. Team Connection will be doing that again this year, so the players and coaches this year can be earning free uniforms for a Florida team in 2017. We do believe in playing it forward. And, of course, as I've said before, no outstanding high school program can do it just with a coach and athletic director and players. We need the parents. We need the community involved. And we thank Dean Street Insurance for, again, presenting the Community Service Award. And they also agreed that they will be with us again next year, as will Wilson Sports. I especially like having them there because they're over 100 years old, and quite frankly, it's nice to have people around who's been around longer than I have. So we do thank all of them. We also thank Florida Tennis Magazine. They have the last issue. They've included a page on there that is for high schools from around the country. And this edition, which should be out this week, we actually had additional states of Oregon and Illinois join the high school state organizations that are contributing news. Hopefully I have Virginia and California in time. I received their information afterwards, but of course they will just add on to North Carolina and the Missouri Valley and of course Texas and California that regularly give us information. So that issue should be out this coming week, and you can always read my articles in there with the magazine at the club. And if somebody's taken the last issue of Florida Tennis from the your tennis club, you can go to our website and read my articles on our website. That's www.fhstca.org. And, of course, you can also read the last issue of Florida Tennis on there. So if your club has run, you know, the issues disappear too soon, maybe you should consider getting your own issue of the magazine. But I think I see a guest on the show, so let me see if he is there. Coach, are you there?
Yes, I am, sir.
Coach Slack? Oh, good. How are you today?
I am great. A little wet, but I'm great.
I know it. Boy, this is some way to move from New York down to here, but the program, and now we're almost giving you New York-like weather. I mean, we want to be hospitable, but I think we're going a little too far with this here. When did ASA College decide that besides having their New York school there, that they were going to open up a school in the Miami area?
It was in the talks. It's been in the talks for years now. When I took the job, I was offered the job at ASA in 2011 and turned it down at that time. And then when I came back in 2012, they said, hey, do you want to coach in Miami? And I said, yeah, absolutely. They said, but you got to coach in New York first before you can go to Miami. And I said, all right, like, we can do this. So it was kind of in the talks, I know, there in 2012, and it had to be the idea before that, obviously, to try to get something up and running. You know, we had the school opened summer of 2014, and, you know, we had some teams that were club teams that weren't competing at the NJCAA level, but just kind of, you know, scrimmages and those sort of games throughout. And then this year everybody seems to be up and running within the NJCAA and, you know, our Florida conference and everything like that. So everything's worked out fairly well this year. And, you know, we moved, I moved down here and brought some of my players from New York, and we still have a program up in New York City as well. So, I mean, it could be possible that we play each other at the national tournament or during the regular season or anything like that. I know our football team, we're the only junior college football program in the state of Florida as well. And our football team, the first home game of the year was against the ASA New York team. The ASA New York team flew down here and played the ASA Miami team. So, you know, we've done it in a couple sports and look forward to doing it some more. So,
oh, that's got to be exciting. Now, are you still the only men's team? I know we have two-year programs in the women's side, but on the men's side, are you the only two-year program in Florida?
Yeah, currently we're the only men's JUCO junior college program in the state of Florida. I know that Coach Jerry Thor there at Eastern Florida State is they're adding a men's program in the fall of 2016. Jerry used to be the head coach at Seward Community College out in Kansas, and then was the Niagara head men's women's tennis coach last year up in the New York area, and then took the job down here at Eastern Florida in Melbourne. So therefore, and the talks were, and he confirmed it, that they're going to have a men's team this coming fall. So that'll be good to actually have another men's program down here, because really the closest one to us would be ABAC, which is in, you know, south of Georgia, in Tifton, Georgia. So to have Jerry down here, Jerry's a great coach, and, you know, to have another junior college program down here will be great.
Yeah, that sure would be great. I do admit to having a bias for community colleges. I don't think everybody is ready to go to a four-year college. I know I wasn't ready even to go to college. I wound up going in the Marine Corps, but my exposure to higher education was getting an associate degree at a place called Norwalk Community College up in Connecticut. Okay. So I think there's a place for everybody, and some people just aren't ready for college right after high school, and they're not ready to play at a division, well, I shouldn't just say Division I, Division II level of college at that time. But I do believe there is a place to play for most people, and somehow we've got to get more two-year colleges in Florida. I know in Texas there's numerous amounts of them, but unfortunately we're behind in Florida.
Yeah, I mean, they used to have it before. I mean, there were a lot of junior college programs, men's side, in the state of Florida, and then they kind of just dispersed, and then you had the women's programs. And the talk's been the past couple of years when the Florida schools, you know, the women's side has heard that, you know, we're coming down here, and ASA is going to have a men's and a women's program in the state of Florida. You know, some of the coaches are like, good, like, hopefully, you know, our administration's kind of, you know, we'll bring back the men's side and bring back the men's JUCO, because, I mean, state of Florida for a while with Seminole and those type of schools, I mean, they were ruling the world. I mean, there were some top players playing in the state of Florida in junior college system. to work their way up, and it's went away for whatever reason, but now to hopefully, you know, hopefully we can be the first school of many in the state of Florida to be able to do it. And I mean, to kind of piggyback on what you said, I mean, there's a place for everybody, like you said. You know, I went to a junior college. I was recruited by a lot of Division I schools. I went to a junior college because it was smaller class sizes. You know, I didn't like the Division I or Division II schools that were recruiting me at the time. So it's a way to showcase your talent for another year, 2 years, you know, if you want to stay 2 years. And, you know, you may be a qualifier, you may not be a qualifier. So if you're not a qualifier and you don't want to go D1, D2, D3, or NAIA, then junior college may be a route. If you like the offers that you get after a first year, then transfer after your first year if you're able to. If you don't, you come back your second year and keep competing at a high level. And, you know, you got to pick the right school that maybe has a good schedule and, you know, really showcase what you can do. Maybe you need to bring your grades up a little bit at the same time. You know, everybody has their different reasons, you know, financial reasons or geographical reasons, or, you know, they just want to showcase a little bit more. Maybe they've been injured, you know, in the middle of their junior career and everybody's just kind of backed off of them a little bit. I mean, it's kind of across the board of why I have some of the girls and guys that I have. And, you know, I do have some kids who are qualifiers and, you know, can go D1, have been offered D1 and, you know, have come to me, and then they decide to stay a second year because they like it. They like the schedule that we play, and they're still looking for that right school, that right fit for them to be able to transfer on. So there's a place for everybody. There's a, you know, the perfect school, the perfect opportunity for each kid to be able to go to. They just have to go out there and seek and find out which one it is.
No question about it. I was talking to Coach Girardi a couple of months ago, and he's saying that when the girls in there, that he's getting actually some of the college recommending girls to him because they apply there and they see him as a future prospect. So he's actually getting talent that way too, which is encouraging. Matter of fact, I talked to Coach Wright recently and up at Marion Military Institute, that I happen to send people up there, and one of them moved on. But he was telling me the same thing, that he was at a coach's meeting with Coach Creasy, and he was surprised at the interest there. So I think there's a need to do that. And we had one right where I live in Indian River Community College, which is now Indian River State College, and they dropped the program because of space. They used the tennis courts for another building, and that's hard to argue with, but I think these athletic directors have to get creative, and they have to partner with some of the outside facilities if necessary, because there's just as a need for tennis. It's just the continuing growth patterns. We talk about the you know, the progressions in tennis and the progressions in training. Well, a lot of times there's a progression in how you move up the ladder if you're going to go to school and go on beyond.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I know for us it's one of those, like, we don't have, for say, like a campus in itself. So we rent a lot of our facilities that we use down here in the Miami area, and, you know, we're – it's a lot easier than what it was in New York City. I mean, New York, we used the USTA National Tennis Center. We used the Billie Jean King Center, indoors and outdoors. That was our home facility. Down here, we're in North Yeah, I mean, it was nice. You can't complain.
I guess so.
Walking into that place and you're playing on, you know, you could be playing on court 17 and, you know, you're on courts that, you know, everybody, you're watching everybody else hit on during the U.S. Open. And you're like, oh, I remember when my kid played a match here this past spring, and, you know, it gets pretty exciting in that sense. But, you know, down here we're in North Miami Beach, and, you know, we're at North Miami Beach Tennis Center, and, you know, right on Biscayne Boulevard, people can drive by, they see the courts, they see that we're practicing. You know, we have people that come into the school, and we saw your tennis team practicing over there, and that's absolutely perfect. I mean, there's 12 clay courts there, there's 6 hard courts. You know, we have our very first home match this coming weekend for the women on Sunday, and then our men have a match next Thursday against Southeastern here at home. It'll be our first junior college men's match in the state of Florida in some time. So, I mean, hopefully I can get some community community out. We've done some email blast into the high schools and everything, trying to get some kids and some coaches out, and, you know, just trying to get the community a little bit more involved, because I think that's part of the problem with, you know, some schools. I mean, I coached at Vincennes University, a junior college up in Indiana, and Vincennes for, man, over 20 years has placed top 10 in the country in men's tennis in junior college, and they dropped the program at the end of this past year. In May, they decided to drop the program. They end up saying they needed more green space in the area, and that's frustrating. But, you know, there is a lot of community disconnect between, you know, the tennis program, a former coach who had been there for years and started the program up, had retired, and, you know, there was a disconnect there, and the community wasn't as involved as they were at the time before. And I think you really need to get, you know, for those schools who maybe are dropping programs, and, you know, the athletic directors and presidents and the provosts and everything need to see that, you know, your program is, you know, worth saving or worth keeping, because the community is so involved and community is interested in what you're doing. You know, if it's on the football field, on the soccer field, you know, on the basketball court, whatever it may be, the track or the tennis court. I mean, that community involvement's a big thing. It's the one thing that we're doing down here. We do a lot of community service. So we are out in the community doing certain things. And that's across
the board. And I think that's probably, you know, I'm sure it was your coaching experience that reason you were Wilson's 2015 ITA Men's National Coach of the Year. But when you're talking about that community, I think is a big part of it. And because a team has a coach that's coached national champions like you have in 2014 and 2015, doesn't guarantee them to be successful in the future. I mean, you need the community involved. And this is why on our FHSTCA.org Facebook, for instance, we're always sharing that information, because the public has to know, the public has to be involved in supporting you. And what better place for high school kids to go, if they're not going to be playing a tournament themselves or have practice themselves, to go watch other people play tennis. And you give me that information on our Facebook, and we'll make sure that we let everybody know.
No, it's perfect. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at our schedule right now. I mean, it's like we're all over the state of Florida. I mean, this weekend we're at Nova Southeastern, then we're home, then we go, we play at Broward. We're at Rollins College next weekend. We're at Embry-Riddle, so we're in Daytona. We're at Barry. We're at St. Leo, Tampa, Bradenton. I mean, that's just all those matches right there until the February 20th. So, I mean, we're traveling the state of Florida to start the season off, and, you know, I couldn't be more excited. I mean, to be down here in the state of Florida in the hotbed of, you know, the tennis area. I've recruited kids from Florida when I was at Vincennes, when I've been up in New York, and have had kids that have been very successful, and every kid that's come to me has won a national championship at one place or the other that's come from the state of Florida. So I can say that the state of Florida is really helping me, you know, win as far as a tennis, you know, tennis players coming to my programs and things like that, that, you know, these kids get the opportunity to play outdoors. You have an opportunity because of all the colleges down here to see high level tennis, but you have to get out and actually go and see it. I mean, I know we have practice tomorrow. We play on, Saturday and Sunday, but I'm going tomorrow afternoon down to the U, to Miami, and UCF is playing Miami on the men's side tomorrow afternoon. So, you know, not only am I a coach, but I want to go and watch the high-level tennis at the same time. So,
that's great. That's great, and that's something that we've got to get the message out so people to understand. That's something we've been trying to I can't say we've been successful yet, because we still, and I see Reed, where a couple months ago, the University of Hartford, I come from Connecticut originally, and I used to go there and drop in their tennis program, and I'm saying, why? What are we doing wrong? But once we get more schools playing, then I think it's harder to drop that tennis program. And I appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate you know, taking the time to come and talk to us about it. I am a little bit familiar with your associate degree college in Brooklyn, and I assume the same courses are available here in Miami?
Correct, yeah. We have we actually added a couple within our business. We just added a sports management track in our business. We added a social media track within our business area. So to have those, you know, a couple more degrees within our business management, business admin degree, we have the accounting and everything that we've had. But to be able to add those a couple more down here in the state of Florida, which we didn't have in New York, but, you know, we still have the criminal justice, again, the business, and then we have medical assisting as well. So, I mean, it's been very successful so far with what we've been able to do down here and, you know, getting the kids in, getting, you know, their credits, their, you know, keeping the GPAs high, making sure they're going to class and everything, which has been very successful. I mean, I can say this has been this last semester has been two of the highest GPAs that I've had on the men's and women's side. My women were like around a 3.6 and my guys were at a 3.54. So it was a really good semester, and, you know, credit to them making sure that we're going to class every day and doing the things that we need to do, and, you know, making sure that they find, you know, that degree or that program that they want to go to be able to be successful and not be something that they're actually bored in or something like that, and have those credits transfer on to the next school.
And I think that, you know, I have my own bias like everybody else does, and I'm a real believer that there is, it's going to help them become better tennis players too, because there's so many, I look at tennis as a crisis management course. You're trying to, you know, solve a problem that immediately you're faced there. And I think when you're getting into conditioning in high school, as you know, we're not allowed to pick up the rackets until just a couple weeks ago. But we are allowed for conditioning and player-parent meetings and everything, which we've been doing since September. But that conditioning is not only physical conditioning, it's mental conditioning. And it's a lot easier when the person is developing the habits that are good habits, that are those same disciplines that you need for the studying, is the same discipline you're going to need that's going to prevent that, you know, self-talk that you hear too much of, in my opinion, somebody going out and, you know, beating himself up. It's just, I told some players in the past, if I talk to you that way, you'd be upset with me. You're talking
right.
To yourself
exactly.
That way.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, we do a lot. Like I tell my kids that come in here, I mean, by the time you're coming to college, most kids have been playing for long enough, you've hit a million balls. You know, it's not so much, it may not be so much the technique, it may not be, you know, so much, you know, how you're hitting the ball or how, you know, what you're doing, but it's the mental aspect of things that really breaks down the difference. I said, so a lot of things that we talk about in the classroom and on the court is attention to details. You know, if you can pay attention to those small details will help you in the long run, in the bigger picture, you know, to understand in the classroom, on the tennis court. If you pay attention to those details on the court, then maybe you can figure out what your opponent's doing to you, you know, while you're playing, what you're doing, figuring out, you know, how they are beating you or what they're doing in certain situations to beat you and so forth. You know, it's the same thing in classroom. And pay attention to those little notes, those little side things that maybe you're missing at the time because, you know, you don't want to pay attention or you zone off in the no man's land and all of a sudden you need to bring yourself back in. You may have missed something that the teacher said, you know, in that meantime that you were zoning out in no man's land. So I said those attention to details are the big thing. It's a lot of mental things that we really try to work on and make sure that we're doing correctly.
At least we're on the same page that way there. As you get to know me the reputation I have in Florida, which isn't always good, they'll tell you that he's shamefully a pain. And that is, we've been blessed at our workshops to have college coaches every year to come out and help us, actually, and professionals and coaches and authors from as far away as California. Now that you're a resident in Florida,
You and I have to stay connected because in December when we have our coaches training, I'm going to need you for at least one session.
No problem. I'm available.
Okay, good. Very good. I appreciate that there because it's just so important that there's, unfortunately, in high school, there is a large turnover in high school coaches, and, we need that training every single year. And plus the fact that no matter how long you've been in there, there's always something new you can pick up. At least I do, and maybe I'm just not the smartest guy in the world, but I've been doing this forever and coaching, and I haven't yet been to a workshop where I haven't learned something new. And sometimes it's something you used to do, and you stop doing it, and then you say, you know, I used to do that. Why did I stop doing that? So,
Exactly.
Was there anything that you think that, what are your thoughts on, with the advantage you have over, you know, some of the kids that are looking to go to other colleges?
I mean, the benefits that we have, and we have the support. I mean, I hear from the coach, from other junior college coaches a lot that have been on, you know, Jason Haynes' show and everything like that. I mean, we get the support from the top to the bottom. I mean, our president loves the sport of tennis. He travels with us quite a bit. We'll go to our national tournament and everything like that. So having the support from him, my ADs and everything like that, all the way down to, you know, our administrative assistants, you know, the other coaches in our athletic department are very supportive. You know, I know, you know, our match on Sunday, I mean, we're doing, I don't know how many schools really would do this, but we're doing a fan bus to our match on Sunday for our girls' match. We're doing a pizza party for those fans who come to the match and everything like that. You know, just getting that involvement and having that, you know, we've gone to a lot of matches that are away. I mean, we travel quite a bit, even when we were up in New York, and not to have fans at tennis matches kind of draws away from it. So you get, you know, your own players try to make it the Davis Cup atmosphere as best as possible. And, you know, it's catchy. I mean, I've had some kids that have transferred in here that just said, listen, like I was at another school, but I saw how much fun you guys were having. And, you know, the players seemed to enjoy it and seemed to like their time and everything. And, you know, with having that support from the president and the ADs and being able to travel and, you know, really play whatever schedule that, you know, I see fit, for our school, for the players, depending on what players we have and everything. I mean, we get to travel quite a bit. I mean, you know, we're in the state of Florida. We get to we're going out to Tyler, Texas to play, you know, Seminole State, who's from Oklahoma. They're number two in the country. You have Tyler that's number three in the country. You know, Cali's going to be – so to be able to go out there, you know, the end of February and play some of those top junior colleges. I know next fall we're going – my women's team's going to Texas A&M. I'm playing a fall tournament at Texas A&M. So, I mean, we're kind of all over the place in what we're able to do. And some schools don't have that advantage. So I think, you know, the advantage for us and the advantage of kids coming to us and playing for us is, you know, A, right now you're in South Florida. The weather's, you know, knock on wood, is usually nice. You know, it's not monsoon weather like we've had this past week, but, you know, to try to get through that and train outdoors every single day and, you know, really get to hit a lot of balls and, you know, not be really confined to so much of a time frame. You can walk on a court any other time that you want, where, you know, some places where you have to go indoors, you may have to schedule the time, there's clinics and so forth, but to have the weather that we have and be able to travel and play the schedule and, you know, be able to walk on anytime you want. And, I mean, some programs just don't have that. I've heard, like I said, I've heard other coaches sit there and say, you know, ASA, you know, necessarily has a budget of a D1 team because they get to travel so many places and they get to travel everywhere. So, you know, I'm very fortunate where I'm at and what we've been able to do. And, you know, I think, you know, my kids, I've had a lot of kids that have transferred on, and I have kids that are, you know, at D1 schools that are ranked. You know, I have guys and girls right now that are being recruited by some of the top Division I programs in the country. I have kids who are going D2 and who have gone D2. I've had kids that have gone NAI. I have two kids that have gone to Division III. So, you know, it's a stepping stone. I mean, that's just kind of why I tell kids from the very beginning, you know, use this. Every team that you play that's a four-year school, it's an interview. You know, you're interviewing, which is you can take into the real world as well, but how you conduct yourself, how you, you know, it's not so much, you may lose a match, but how you conduct yourself and how you compete on the court is a different situation for each coach and what they want and what they see. So, you know, use that interview process if it's for your next scholarship in tennis or if it's for the next job interview that you're going to do. Use the process on the court to be able to, you know, show yourself at a, you know, the highest level that you possibly can, and prove to somebody, not only yourself, not only your teammates, but to that person across the net and the coach that's coaching that person across the net, you know, the type of person that you really are. And if you can do those things, then you're going to be successful in life.
Excellent, excellent advice, Coach. And if, like I said before, your social media, your Facebook and Twitter, if they like us and friend us at FHSTCA.org, we'll be glad to help you get that message out because it is an important message, and I appreciate what you're doing, and I think you are going to make a difference there. I think the other thing is that, you know, coming from the community I'm in, for instance, we're not a big community. The school's not a big school. And I think back, I can still remember, even though it's, God, I don't know how long, I guess 50 years since when I went and went to a community college and then wound up going to Pace University. I remember my first time going into, I thought I was going into a classroom, and I'm into an auditorium and having a professor talk to me and 100 other people, I had a hard time being prepared at that time, and I was in my late 20s, and I had already come from getting an associate's degree from a community college. I think of some of the high school players that come from a small high school, and then they're, you know, even though they're good players and everything, and unfortunately I've had a couple of them and then choose to go to a place and for maybe a couple of reasons. Number one, they just weren't quite good enough for that there. But the other thing is they had a hard time fitting in. They didn't fit. They feel they belonged there. And like I said, maybe it's my own biases, but I just think we need more we need to go back to the two-year programs playing tennis in Florida and have more of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's different for everybody. I mean, you know, a kid who maybe comes from a small high school and then all of a sudden, you know, you may be the best player at a small high school, or you may be the best academic student at that small high school, and then all of a sudden you decide to go to a, you know, a 30,000, 40,000, 50,000, you know, population, you know, student enrollment school, and all of a sudden you're just another fish in the pond, another fish in the sea. You know, maybe you're not, you know, you might not be the valedictorian or anything like that anymore. You're just, you know, an average student or above average student, but there's a lot of them that are average or above average. You may not be the best tennis player anymore, and you have to fight in a different direction and learn how to, you know, compete differently. I mean, it's the same for those who, you know, there's kids who go to online high schools. And if you go to an online high school and you're really not, you know, attention to detail and really trying to knock things out, and then all of a sudden you go into one of those colleges as well, and all of a sudden you're sitting in a lecture hall of 100, 150, 200 people, you know, it may be shell shock that all of a sudden hits you and you're like, whoa, like, I don't know where I'm at. Like, I've done a lot of things online from home at my kitchen table or in my bedroom, and all of a sudden I'm in this classroom and I don't know what's going on. That, you know, a two-year school is, you know, it's small class sizes. You know, maybe you need that little bit more of attention in the classroom to try to build the grades up or get your grades a little bit better. You know, maybe you don't want those large class sizes. Our class sizes are anywhere from 15 to 20 people in a class. So every professor is going to know your name. You know, they're going to know who you are. They're going to know when John or Susie or Kevin is not in class on that given day. And, you know, they come to the, hey, you know, where's Kevin at today? Is he sick? Yeah, he was he was sick today, you know, and he said he emailed you, and then the teacher goes and looks at their email. Yeah, he did email me. It's no problem, you know. Just let them know to come and talk to me. That's not necessarily going to happen at a big school. But you have that opportunity to really know the professor and go into the professor's office later on and really sit down and talk, and they're going to know exactly who you are and what your name is from the time that you walk in that door. So, you know, it has a lot of its benefits. I think that, you know, some kids, you know, or parents don't necessarily know the benefits that, you know, a community college to your school can actually, you know, give to a kid. And, you know, you kind of get your, you know, your all your eggs in the basket. I mean, you get your Englishes, your math, your speech, you know, all those classes that maybe cost a little bit more at a four-year school, depending on where you go, where sometimes that community college opportunity is a little bit cheaper to be able to try to knock out those English classes, those math classes, you know, those prereqs that you have to do before you get into, you know, the nuts and bolts, you know, per se in your, you know, in your regular degree of what you're going to go into. So, you know, those are some of those classes that you can knock out. I mean, I went to Vincennes my freshman year. So I went to a community college and I transferred out after my freshman year. But after my freshman year, I had all my Englishes done. My speech was done. My math was done. So when I transferred on, you know, to a Division I four-year school, I decided that, hey, you know, all those classes are going to be done. I don't have to worry about those. And I can really, you know, get into the degree that I really wanted to get into and straight into those classes instead of trying to, you know, weave in and out and try to find my way. So, you know, I enjoyed my time, you know, at a community college, but then went on to a four-year school and enjoyed my time there. But my best friends to this day are my teammates from my freshman year in college. You know, and I only spent 1 year with them, and they're still my best friends today. And, you know, it may be that, you know, we were very successful and we had a blast doing it, and, you know, that's why that's why we're still best friends and talk on a regular basis. So it's the fact of the four-year school that I go to is bigger and you're just more spread out and, you know, you don't get to see everybody. You don't talk to everybody as much as what you did at a community college in small classes. So, you know, to each their own, but I think, you know, for parents and for student athletes out there that, you know, community college is a good route to go no matter what sport you're really in. It doesn't have to be tennis. It can be the football. It can be the basketball, the track. You know, kids need to realize across the board that, you know, don't shy away from the two-year schools. You know, go get your degree, move on to the next school that you choose, and, you know, find your way there and get the degree that you need to get.
Well, I think that's good advice, Coach. I think of only one major disadvantage. I know you coached at Morehead State University back in 2006, and that's a four-year university, right?
Yes.
But I only did talking to, you know, I'm a friend with a few, got probably my own bias with the coaches, and the only disadvantage I hear is that you only have 2 years to be with these people, and I think that's, and I think back at that, and I've never coached in college, but coached in high school, and it is when you have 4 years with somebody and they're going, it's hard to see them leave. You build a relationship. So I always tell, like I told Coach Girardi, and he said, I think about going to a four-year school sometimes just because of that. And I tell him that you're right. You don't get to spend as much time with them, but the thing is, you don't have to. After 4 years, it's a closer relationship you have, so you don't have to break that relationship. But the truth is, you never break it. But I appreciate what you're doing. I would like to go on to some other things. But is there anything that you would like to talk about? Would you like to talk about your junior tennis and, you know, any experiences that you had?
Yeah, I mean, I'm from the state of Indiana. I mean, I played baseball.
You didn't play basketball.
I did. I played baseball, basketball, and tennis. You know, I'm a Hoosier at heart. I'm a big IU fan and everything. You know, until we lost the game the other night, and it was one of those things. It's a good thing I have the Big Ten channel down here in SEC country,
God,
you know, in the South. But, you know, it's one of those things of, you know, I played all those sports, and when it came down to it, I was going into my freshman year in high school. My tennis coach, who was Jeff Smith and Brian Smith. And Brian Smith is currently the coach of Rajiv Ram right now. He was at the Australian Open with Rajiv.
Oh, yeah.
They still coach. Yeah, they still coach. Like Ronnie Schneiders, who's at University of North Carolina. You have Brooke Austin, who's at the University of Florida. I mean, you have kids across the board that those guys have coached, and they coached me. And Jeff and Brian kind of came to me in eighth grade and said, what are you going to do? Like, and I said, they said, here, do us a favor. Go home, look at, you know, all the baseball players at certain, you know, here's a list of 20 colleges. Look at all the baseball players that are in at those colleges. You go home, and, yeah, 99.8% of them are American. He goes, look at these colleges and look at all the Americans playing basketball. Look at it, and it's probably 90% of them are American. And they said, now go look at college tennis. And you go, and at the time, you're looking at, you know, 120 ranked players in the country. And, I mean, it was like 26 or 27 of them were American. And they sat there and said, college tennis needs American players. You know, so make the decision of where do you think you're going to get the best college scholarship. Is it going to be basketball? Is it going to be baseball? Is it going to be tennis? And, you know, they were all fairly equal. And at that time I said, all right, I'm full-blown tennis. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be year-round constantly. And, you know, this is the road I'm going to travel. And, you know, I end up being top 25 in the Midwest. I was one or two in my class, you know, in my group in Indiana the entire time. The other person that was right there with me was Troy Hahn, who ended up playing at University of Florida, and Troy is the coach for Jack Sock right now. So, you know, all of those, you know, that's the state of Indiana. I mean, my senior year in the state tournament, I lost to Rajiv in a close two sets, and it's one of those things that we still stay close. Every time I see him at a tournament, we sit and talk and everything, and it's, you know, it's an opportunity of a lifetime, and it was a great time in the state of Indiana and in high school tennis with the level that we were at that time. And, you know, to be top 25 in the Midwest was a big thing for me. And, you know, I was fortunate enough, I had parents that, you know, allowed me to do those things, be able to go to tournaments. And, you know, I can, you know, I never shied away from a tournament. I mean, I know I had a summer my junior year in high school where I had one Sunday off. I mean, I was in a tournament Friday through Sunday, and the Sunday I took off was because I was traveling. I played in a tournament. I ended up playing two matches on Saturday, played the finals on Saturday, so I could travel to Jekyll Island, Georgia, to play a tournament on a Tuesday. And so we traveled Sunday, got there so I could hit on Monday on the clay and play a tournament in Jekyll Island, Georgia on a Tuesday. So that was really the only Sunday I had off in there, and it's probably the most memorable. You know, you remember the times that you were probably miserable more than the times that you were probably happy in some instances, you know, through your junior career, and that was probably, you know, I felt miserable because I sit there and look back and I'm in, wow, I only got one Sunday off my whole summer because I was playing tournaments nonstop, and you're playing, you know, clinics Monday through Thursday. But it was probably the most fun when I look back at it because, you know, you're successful at that time and you're having fun with it and you're competing at a high level against some of the best in, you know, not only the state or the Midwest, but also the country. So, you know, I'm a big advocate of junior tennis and going around the tournaments and seeing as many tournaments as I possibly can. You know, my high school was at semi-state for the first time, and I can't tell you how many years. And I flew back up and watched them at their semi-state match. And, you know, the kids I saw during the summer when they were starting summer practice, you know, right before school was starting, and I went to a practice and introduced myself. And my former college coach is now at my high school coaching. And so to talk with some of those kids and then for me to show back up at the semi-state match was, you know, they were pretty excited to be able to see me there and keep looking over and making sure I'm watching when they're doing something right, or, you know, looking at me saying, I think I screwed up on that point. So, I mean, absolute blast in juniors, and I recommend kids to try to play as many junior tournaments, you know, throughout the year that they possibly can, you know, as long as it fits in parents' schedules and their schedules. But at the same time, you know, be a kid, you know, enjoy your time in the classroom, enjoy your time outside of school with friends and family and everything, but, you know, enjoy the time on the court as well. It's not as bad as what you really think it is.
Let me ask you a question. In Indiana, I'm asking this. I actually come from a basketball background. I coached basketball and then got involved in tennis as cross-training for basketball and wound up, you know, joining my son,
John Denise School of Tennis. Everybody thinks it was me, but I always told people I was the other John Denise. He was the star of the show then, but I got into the basketball. But in Indiana, your high school tournaments, do you get ranking points with the USTA?
No, we don't. Our high school, and it's backwards. I mean, I think we're the only state around us. Everybody around us, boys tennis in high school is a fall sport. Girls is a spring sport. The state of Illinois, the state of Ohio, state of Kentucky, state of Michigan, complete opposite, where girls are in the fall, guys are in the spring, and you don't get rankings. You can't play. You know, there's no tournaments being played at that time anyways because you're in high school and you can't do the both at the same time. So, yeah, there's no connection between your USTA. And so it really hurts. But at the same time, you know, everybody else basically isn't doing the same thing. The only kids who aren't playing high school tennis in the state of Indiana are those kids who aren't playing high school tennis and they're going out and playing the ITFs and, you know, some of the national tournaments across the country instead. And, yeah, it's a kicker because, you know, I've had friends who – have, you know, I think Rajiv only played freshman and sophomore year of college or of high school tennis and then didn't play high school tennis anymore. And it's because he wanted his ranking to get high and wanted to do the things that he wanted to do. And he didn't think that high school tennis was going to be able to do that for him. You know, and so, I mean, to each their own, but it's a little frustrating that your high school, you know, matches don't really count for you for the USTA or, you know, for any of those ranking systems whatsoever. And it's just not tied together that way.
Unfortunately, that was the hardest, my adjustment coming, you know, the U.S. And I spent 8 years on the USTA Florida Board of Directors, but it seems like we're the only sport that the USTA is, you know, the players ain't coming through high school and high school and the country, but not just high school basketball goes through there, football goes there. We have protection for the kids in basketball. You can't go pro until your high school senior year is over. In football, you have to wait till your junior year in college or you have to yourself. And in tennis, we just seem to compete with it. And I just wonder, you know, could we make a bigger pool of players if we were working together? And that's what my effort in Texas and California, we joined together, the executive directors, and trying to get that. I respect, you know, I've gone through the high-performance coaching program. I think it's a great program. When I go to Hilton Head in a couple of weeks to go to the PTR Symposium, I'll spend the first day with the high-performance coaches again. I don't think there's anything wrong with our training. I just think we need a larger pool of players. And I think that high school tennis is a sleeping tiger that needs to be awakened. I mean, you know, it's, I don't understand that. So my own bias.
Yeah, trust me. You're speaking to a choir here. So, you know, I think high school tennis is probably one of the best moments, you know, best time of a kid's life. It's just some kids don't play it and they don't get to experience that. And then, you know, it's tough for a college coach to kind of get there and say, listen, I understand we are an individual sport, but we're an individual sport in a team aspect. And we're all about the team. And, you know, what can you do for the team? So if a kid doesn't play, you know, that high school tennis or hasn't played for a team before, you know, it does take some time as a college coach to try to get them, you know, to understand it's not an individual thing. You know, you're an individual trying to win for your team and for others on your team and not just for yourself. So I'm a big component of high school tennis.
Well, Coach, I really appreciate the time. Well, yeah, I can't believe we just killed just about an hour. I thank you for your time. I ask everybody to please tell your friends about the shows. Remind them that there is a place for most of our high school tennis players, and it isn't always in Division I, and it isn't always with scholarships. There's other money out there. There's other assistance out there. Next week's show, we will have
LaRue Cook on, and LaRue Cook is actually he's lives in Virginia and Florida. He's a certified trainer, and he's a new member of our board and on our blog. As you've noticed in the past, I'm sure I answer a lot of tennis questions. I'm getting involved with tennis questions. I never felt I was truly qualified to talk about injury prevention and recovery time in this year. And LaRue has written enough articles and written for different universities. His qualifications make him such that he is now on our blog, and he can answer your question, and we will be talking to him next week. Bill Patton, who is a the author of The Art of Teaching High School Tennis and has been at our workshop the last 2 weeks, will be on the show on February 11th. On February 18th, we have Scott Inge on, a pro family, actually, a longtime tennis pro. We go all the way back to the World Scholar Games together when I was tennis coordinator and had coaches up at the University of Rhode Island. He was one of my coaches. His father is an outstanding coach and a college coach, and his son is now coaching tennis too. So he's the Missouri Valley president, and I've been blessed to be out there in Kansas City with them before, and it'll be a pleasure talking to him. And Scott Williams, who's on our board and has the High School Tennis Ministries, will be the guest the last Thursday in February. And we are blessed to be able to be booked with guests until mid-March already. So if you have your high school coach or college coach and you'd like to have them on, contact me. I will remind you that if you have information, if you're one of those states that have information about your high school, get that to me right away about any players or coaches or anything. Florida Tennis Magazine is not only running my articles, but they have a whole section to that now. And if you get that to me, I'll make sure your state gets put in there. You college coaches, I appreciate your information. We actually have more college coaches on our social media than we have Florida high school coaches right now, I'm ashamed to say, but we have that turnover. And our first year, I think we had one or two requests for a coach saying, I need a male, or I need a female, or I have a scholarship, or I have grant money, or I have a position. And I think last year we posted a dozen different times for college coaches. If they give us their information, we want to share it because we want to have our high school players continue playing high school tennis. I will remind you, we've honored our coaches. We've honored our community service. The next thing is that we honor is the in April after the FHSA state championship, we will have our all-star event in Florida. Florida senior, before you can play in a high school all-star game. That's why we don't have that until after the high school championship. It'll be in Winter Park again this year. And our high school seniors, we try to send them off to college. In a team atmosphere, we play the Billie Jean King format and team, a boys single, girls single, boys doubles, girls doubles, and two mixed doubles. It's a fun event, but it's competition. And team connection will again be addressing our coaches and our players, and Dean Street Insurance will again be supporting the program. Wilson Tennis, what can I say about Wilson? We'll again be using the Wilson balls. They'll have goodie bags for all our players and coaches.
And we hope you nominate your player. Remember, you can nominate your player even if they're not going to be chosen to go to the tournament. They should still be recognized. So please tell your friends. Hopefully we'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, thank you, Coach Schreck, and let Maya know what you if you're in the Miami area, go see the matches. It's a great thing for high school players. Have a blessed week, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye now.